Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
19 and 20. Acts chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 will actually hold and be the meat of where our sermon title is coming from. But we'll have to read the whole story to find out what's going on. Amen? Amen. It says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. In verse 20 it says, arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this time and this moment, God. Thank you for who you are and for what you do. Father, it's preaching time, God, and we ask that your word would be shared in a way that you'd have it to be done here in this place, Father. Open up our ears, our hearts, our minds, that we would be ready to receive what thus saith the Lord. God, we need you. We can't make it without you. So God, bless us that we would be blessed, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated. Today, if you're writing down a title, if you're keeping some notes today, amen, I want you to go ahead and write down this short little phrase. Act like you got some sense. Act like you got some sense. Ushers, thank you. Thank you. Act like you got some sense. Or the proper way might be, act like you have some sense. Amen. 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 This week, I've already shared in testimony, had a lot of stuff going on, had a lot of things going on, and someone shared with me, everybody knows the actor Jamie Foxx, amen? Jamie Foxx received some type of award, acting award, I don't know exactly what type of award it was, but if you look at, you might be able to Google Act Like You Got Some Sense, or Act Like You Came From Somewhere or something like that. If you Google that and you Google Jamie Foxx, you'll get a video of him accepting his award. And in his award, what he was basically saying is that his grandmother told him to act like you've been somewhere. Act like you got some sense. And she was his first acting coach to help him along. And he said that no matter what situation he got in, no matter where he was, he remembered her telling him that phrase, act like you got some sense. I want to use that same phrase today, and I want to talk to the church, and I want to say, act like you got some sense. Act like you got some sense. When I say act like you got some sense, I'm meaning as believers, we all go through and we all have stuff to happen, right? We all have things that catch us off guard. You know, anytime you've watched a boxing match or whatever, there's normally a blow that happens in the boxing match that the opponent never saw coming. And if you get caught by that blow, if you're not careful, you'll get knocked out. It's exactly what happened. You'll get knocked out. As believers, I think we need to act like we got some sense. Deacon Warren, Brother Terrence's grandfather, one of the things he's gone to be with the Lord, but one of the things that he used to say in conversation with speaking with him is he would say, I can't stand no jellyback Christian. Meaning that he couldn't stand someone who says they was one thing but wouldn't stand up for it. act like we got some sense. They're spoken having conversations about elections and all that other kind of stuff as if that was going to be the very thing to take us out. As a believer, you have to act like you got some sense. Oh, there's this situation, there's that. I gave my testimony. I had gotten a phone call about my uncle, and then they said, well, okay, he's going to have surgery. And my wife can tell you, I had all kinds of stuff on my mind and hung up the phone. And I think my mother called back. It wasn't 5 minutes later. And she said, oh, and your Aunt Lois passed away, too. Act like you got some sense. God is still in control of everything. He's got it all. But sometimes as believers, we walk around as though just what every little stuff is going to throw us off. Sometimes we put ourselves in a position, as we're going to read as Peter, as we start to look down on other folk instead of realizing God is in control of everything and everybody. That as we walk through this world, Scripture says you're in the world, but you ain't got to be of the world. Act like you got some sense. In other words, get yourself together. Y'all gonna go with me today. Act like you got some sense. Now, what you'll find here is you're gonna find that the actual event happens in Acts chapter 10. Peter goes on and he repeats what happens. I think he shares it in verse in chapter 11. And I think that he goes on to share it a little bit further down in this chapter as well. But Peter's given a story of an account of what was going on with him. Amen. Would you please follow me over to chapter 10, the beginning of chapter 10? Over the beginning of chapter 10, there's a man named Cornelius, and he's in Caesarea, and he's Roman. In other words, he's a Gentile. He's not one of God's chosen people biologically, nationally. He, based upon where he came from and all, he's not actually one of God's chosen people, yet still he believes in God. He's a God-fearing man. If you was to actually look at it, he's actually considered to be a Roman centurion, which would be an enemy of God's chosen people. And in him doing whatever it is that he was doing, his prayers, an angel comes to him and says, hey, I've heard your prayers. Your prayers have been answered. I want you to go and search for this man named Peter. In verse number 9, it says, at about noon the next day. Now, this is after Cornelius has prayed and after Cornelius has gotten, this angel has come to him. And after the angel has said, go look for this Peter. And he's a centurion. He's in charge. And so he has got some folk. And he sends some folk to go fetch Peter. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens open and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean. The voice said to him again, the second time, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up into heaven. Verse 17. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was standing there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, look, three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Peter has this vision. He's in his trance. And at this particular time, it was said that there were certain foods that were identified back in the Old Testament to be unclean. And so since Peter was one of God's chosen people, Peter had said, there's certain fruit, certain things I'm not going to eat because that's considered to be unclean. I'm not going to profane myself. I'm not going to mess myself up by getting around some of these unclean things. Now, I don't know about you, but I read in the Bible, I believe it's over in Genesis, around the very early stages of Genesis, that after God made everything, he said everything that he had made was good. But from that time to this time, oh, you can't eat that. You shouldn't eat that. There's scripture in the New Testament that says it's not that what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of the man that defiles him. But here's Peter. Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter, Petros, Peter, who's saying, no, I'm not going to eat that because that's, What I'm going to eat is going to make me unclean. God gives him a vision. He says, you hungry, I'm providing for you, but you won't eat. Not one time, not two times, but three times. He provided substance for Peter. Now, these three men come. So Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one that you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? They answered, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. Wow. Can you imagine? So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. There's a centurion. He sent us to come get you. I don't even know why he sent us to come get you. All I know is that a holy angel said something to him and then he directed us to come get you so that you can go to him so he can hear what it is that you have to say. Here's Peter, Jewish, God's chosen people, now being called by a Roman centurion to go to him to hear what it is that he has to say. In this particular time and culture, it was not meant that God's chosen people would go around somebody else other than their own people. But he's calling for me because he wants to hear what it is you have to say. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So not only does Peter show up, but when Peter shows up, he's got a couple of his friends with him. But when he shows up, the centurion not only is there by himself, not only with his household, but he says he's got more family and friends there when Peter shows up. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and falling at his feet, worshiped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, stand up, I'm only mortal. And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. It says that when he got there, many folk were there. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but many. So let's assume that when he gets there, it's a room full of people. Peter's not supposed to be around. They ain't supposed to be around Peter. Peter has made this travel, has gone on here. He gets there, he says, hey, I understand. God has shown me there is nothing, there is no one that I should call profane or unclean. Come on, y'all. Act like you got some sense. As believers, we'll see somebody on the side of the street. Act like you got some sense. As believers, we'll see somebody that don't look like we look like. Act like you got some sense. as believers, we'll be around. We could possibly be around somebody that might not talk like we talk. Act like you got some sense. I don't know. In my short 46 years, seems as though more than ever, instead of folk finding more reasons to be apart, it seems as though folks should be looking at more reasons to come together. But because of someone's skin color, folk don't want to associate with those folk. Because of someone's hair texture, folk don't want to associate with those folk. Because someone wears extensions and someone doesn't. Because someone's got Jordans and someone doesn't. Because somebody's clothes is one way and somebody's not. Because someone lives in one neighborhood and somebody lives in another neighborhood. As believers, act like you got some sense. Amen. So it says, verse 29, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius replied, 4 days ago at this very hour at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house, and when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in a home of Simon, a tanner by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. What? Do y'all hear this situation that just happened? What? You mean to tell me I'm now in a place where I know lawfully I shouldn't be? I realize God is telling me that there is no unclean or profane thing, and now I'm here, and you're saying that the angel called me here to say, but you're not even telling me what the angel told me to tell you. I'm now just supposed to open my mouth. Don't you know God puts you in situations that only you get into? God puts you in places that only you can go. And God doesn't put you there just so the people can see your smiling face. But God puts you there because there's something you're supposed to do. Or there's something you're supposed to say. Can you think back and realize how many times in your life you went through something and God allowed somebody to be there right on time to open their mouth and say something? And if God worked it that way that you was on the receiving end, don't you know you can also be the one that God actually speaks to say something to somebody else? Don't worry about how you look or how anything else or how they look, but God is using you. Act like you got some sense. And so when you see yourself in that position, open your mouth. I can imagine Peter standing there going, okay, I'm supposed to say something. They didn't call me here. All right, let me give them what I got. Amen. Acts chapter 10. Amen. Verse 34. Act like you got some sense. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ? He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All of the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Peter said, I don't know why you done called me here, but since you done called me here, I may as well go ahead and tell you what it is I think about it. I may as well go ahead and tell you what's in my heart. I may as well go ahead and tell you what I meditate on day and night. I may as well go ahead and tell you about the relationship that I have with him. There's a man named Jesus. As a believer, act like you got some sense. Have some conversation that means something. God put you in a place, open up your mouth. Peter was there, says, look, I can talk about anything. But since you done called me all the way over here, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Not just about just any old man, but a man that came to save your life. A man that came to cleanse you from your sins. A man that was mistreated. A man that did no wrong. But yet and still, he thought it worthy to give his life for you and me, that you would have the opportunity to be saved. That ought to make somebody happy. He says, I'm here. I may as well talk about something. I'm going to go ahead and talk about Jesus. Because without him, none of us would be here. Not something that I just heard, but something that I've witnessed for myself. Sounds like a testimony to me. Verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Now, in your own study, I would encourage you to go ahead and keep on reading and going on through exactly what happened here, because there's still more issues that Peter still had to talk with other folk that were so-called believers that was caught up over the fact that somebody else had accepted Jesus Christ outside of the nation. Someone else was able to accept Jesus Christ who had not actually been circumcised. And Peter went ahead and talked all against that. Look, I've come here today to tell you to act like you got some sense. Act like you got some sense. It's three points I'm going to give you that are real easy to help you to act like you got some sense. Amen? Amen. If you're going to, as a believer, act like you got some sense. Don't get caught up in what's going on in the world. Don't get caught up in all this mess. But go ahead and be about God's business. First, you have to acknowledge that you're chosen. You have to acknowledge that you've been called. You have to acknowledge the fact that God has you. Amen? We're going to use that acronym of ACT. Acknowledge. Acknowledge whose you are. Acknowledge God has called you. Acknowledge God has put you in a special place. Acknowledge God has allowed you to go through some stuff in your life so that you could go ahead and share your testimony and tell somebody else. Amen. Acknowledge who you are so that when you get into wherever it is that you go, don't you be afraid to open your mouth. Wherever it is God would lead you to go, don't you be afraid to go ahead and tell somebody about Jesus. Imagine if someone would have been bold enough in your life earlier, that you would have received the gift of the Holy Spirit earlier, if you would have acknowledged and understood who Jesus was earlier. There's someone in your circle waiting to hear about Jesus, and they possibly could be waiting to hear about him from you. Don't think that because you don't have a title in front of your name or some letters after your name, or you didn't graduate from here, or you didn't deal with that, or I don't know it like this, or I don't know it like... Do you know Jesus? Do you know who he is? Do you know what he did? Do you know the result of what he did on your life? Tell somebody. Acknowledge your call. Amen. Acknowledge your call. Second. Act. We're dealing in that acronym of act. Acknowledge your call. Next, preach Christ. Teach Christ. Minister Christ. The next letter C, Christ. Whatever it is, Christ. Make sure you let, that's what Peter did. Peter said, I'm here. All I can give you is Christ. I'm not going to tell you about what I went through. I'm not going to tell you how I pulled out the sword. I'm not going to tell you how he called me and I walked on water. I'm not going to tell you all the different situations. I'm not going to tell you that he said upon your knowledge of what you said, I'll build my church. I'm not going to tell you about me. Peter said, no, it ain't about me. It's about him. Let me tell you about him. Act like you got some sense. Acknowledge who you are. Acknowledge your call. Acknowledge your chosen. Acknowledge that. And once you acknowledge it, don't make it about you. See, we mess up in today's church because we make it about us. It's not about us. They persecuted him. We believe in him. Guess what's going to happen to us? We're going to get talked about too. They mistreated him. We believe in him. Guess what's going to happen to us? We're going to get mistreated too. The enemy attacked him. We believe in him. And now you weren't, why am I being attacked? Why am I going through? It's part of it. It's part once you said, I believe in him, I acknowledge that who he is, and he said, the enemy said, well, let me just see how much you believe in him. Let me just see. I'm about to take you. Look, God, can I take him through? The only thing I do is read the book of Job. God, can I take him through? Go right ahead. You can do anything you want to, but don't kill him. Amen. Act like you got some sense. Well, I act like I got some sense by acknowledging him. I act like I got some sense by preaching Christ, teaching Christ. It's all about Christ. Amen. And the last one, T. The last one, T. T. Tell your testimony. Tell your testimony. Tell your testimony. Tell your testimony. Don't keep your mouth shut. Tell your testimony. You can continue to read this in chapter 10. As you go over into chapter 11, Peter started to tell his testimony. They was like, hey, Peter. Peter said, hey, let me let y'all know something. I know y'all think that it's only for a chosen people, but God went ahead and poured his Holy Spirit out on the Gentiles, and they received the Holy Ghost, and they've baptized, and they've come into the, and we're bigger than we were before. Peter told his testimony. Hey, y'all got it all wrong. You looking on the outside at the physical and thinking that if they only circumcised, they'll be able to receive. But I'm here to tell you, it ain't got nothing to do with that. It's about what goes on the inside. And once they opened up their heart and they surrendered their heart to him, he poured his spirit on them. Tell your testimony. There's somebody that has gone through what you've gone through, or even gone through worse, and they just need to hear your testimony. I was mistreated, but God still saved me. I was a drug addict, but God still saved me. I was a prostitute, but God still saved me. I didn't have a dime in my pocket, but God still provided for me. Tell your testimony. Part of what we going through in 2016 is because we got believers that don't act like they got no sense. Stop trying to put somebody else in your box. It ain't about your box. It's about his box. You say he ain't got no box. His word says, whosoever. That ain't no box. However you come, whatever you look like, whatever you got going on. Our job, it says, lift him up. And as we lift him up, he'll draw. not some men, not only men that's over 6 feet tall, not only men that have money in their pocket, not only, he says, but he'll draw all men unto him. The Bible says that he would have it that everyone would be saved, but he know that some is going to fall to the side. But he would have it that everyone would be saved. But everybody doesn't choose him. What a sad thing to find out that somebody didn't choose him because you didn't open your mouth. You didn't let God use you. All because you was the believer that didn't act like had any sense. You know the ones that hold their nose up in the air, lean back a little bit, poke their chest out. Oh, I can't go over there because I don't want to get dirty. I don't want to get involved in that because I might get looked at the wrong way. It ain't going to bother me to go wherever to do whatever. At the end of the day, folk going to say whatever they want to say anyway. But I know why I'm going to wherever I'm going. And whatever I'm doing, Paul says, I became all things to all people. That I might be able to win somebody. And so if I got to go to a place that everybody else don't want to go, I'm going. I don't read in my Bible where Jesus spent all his time in a synagogue. When I read the Bible and I pick it up, Jesus went over into the sinner's house. Jesus was in places that was part of the reason religious leaders had problems when they said, what are you doing over there? I can imagine Jesus saying his mind, because you ain't never go over there. And there's somebody that's got to hear it. Act like you got some sense. Amen. Amen. So we acknowledge that we've been called, that we've been chosen. We acknowledge him. We preach, teach, minister Christ. And we tell somebody our testimony. Amen. Amen. Please, please, please take the time. I read, for those that might want to know, I read from the New Revised Standard Version. Amen. It's supposed to read a lot easier, a lot simpler. So if you're a person that's having problems with thou art 4:2 and all that in the traditional King James Version, grab another version. We read that version here when we read our scripture, but grab another version as your study Bible for something for you to read in your own study time. But go ahead and see what Peter had to deal with. See what Peter had to deal with, because I'm here to tell you, God is not calling his people to act like they got some sense if he's not going to put you in a position for you to open your mouth. If he's not going to put you in a position where you're going to have to acknowledge him. This is the same Peter. This is the same Peter that stood up for Gentiles, that when they took Jesus Christ away, he denied them 3 times. This is the same Peter. So don't think God's not going to put you through some stuff. He denied him 3 times. In the gospel, it's recorded. He denied him. But over here in Acts, he's saying, no, I got to tell you about him now. I done been through something. I done had an experience. And I got to tell you about this man named Jesus. You're going to go through some stuff. But let that be the very thing that gives you the fuel to be able to go ahead and push on and tell somebody, look, I got to tell you, I can't hold this back. Jeremiah said, it's like fire inside of me. I got to let somebody know about this man named, but it's this very, it'll change your whole life. I'm glad somebody took the time to tell me. Make sure you take the time to tell somebody else. Act like you got some sense. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Act like you got some sense.